Hello and welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker, and today I'm going to be speaking to the co-founder of Vin, Stefan Mathis. Vin, a sneakerwear brand like no other, co-founded by Kafra Muta and Stefan, who we'll be speaking to shortly. Together, they have designed over 40 collections for various brands in Italy, UK, and Norway. So, Vin came to life over a discourse about the sneaker industry being one of the most polluting in the fashion industry. Production costs are increasing and the consumer is being asked to pay more, accept lower quality and even less longevity in his sneakers. Vin is the answer, is their answer anyway, to creating a sneaker that is made to last. Their goal is to encourage the customer to reevaluate his spending and move away from a disposable mindset to one where he takes care of his sneakers and enjoys them for longer. What a lovely bio there. Anyway, it's great reading bios off websites that actually make sense. I like that. That is coming shortly, the interview with Stefan. It's a great one. And by the way, the collection is now going to be available on the website when you hear this. Vyn.one, V-Y-N.one. Go check that out. In the meantime, make sure you're heading over to menswearstyle.co.uk. That's where you'll find all of the show notes for this episode, as well as all the other articles, competitions. It's all over there. And also, if you punch in Menswear Style, follow us on the social, and you'll be kept up to date with everything that we post on the website. All of the new articles go live, and then we let everybody know via the social streams. You know how it works. If you want to get in touch with the show, then be sure to email us here at info@menswearstyle.co.uk. Okay? And with no further ado, here is that interview with Stefan Mathis, co-founder of Vin. Well, it's my great pleasure to introduce Stefan Mathis, co-founder of Vin Sneakerwear. How are you doing today, Stefan?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm real good. So, Stefan, maybe you can talk to me a little bit about you and how you got Vin off the ground.
Yeah, so me and my co-founder, Catherine, we met in at university. We both studied industrial design, and we both somewhat got a bit of a shoe bug at that point, I guess. She did a final project in shoes, and I did a final project in shoes. And so we kind of crossed paths during our studies at the university in Switzerland. And then she went to London, and I went to London as well. So I got my first job in like menswear footwear brand, Harry's of London, which was like at that point was a startup. So it was me as the right hand of the creative director, and we basically built the whole brand a bit up, and she was doing internship at Nicholas Kirkwood at the time. So we crossed paths there, and then through my boss at the time, the creative director, he came from Armani, and she then got the connection through to Armani and went to Armani for a few years and worked there in Milan while I stayed in London and went on to Kurt Geiger, and later on to Rees, where I did all the menswear accessories. While she then moved on to Oslo to Swims, which is like a loafer brand that does everything in China, and it's like molded loafers that are really like cool and fun to play with. So we stayed in contact all these years, and we found kind of similar highs and lows, so to speak, within the industry. When you think like the new colors come out and you're like, oh, this is great, it looks great, new materials, new things, your research. But the longer you're in like a structure like it, where it becomes like a 6 months rhythm, and the new collection comes out every 6 months, and you start thinking about like, why are we doing this? How are we doing it? Like, is it really necessary to have blue in the collection today, and then next season it's going to be green, and the season after it's going to be yellow? As interesting and as fun as it is to put together mood boards and work on colorways and things, we both kind of felt it was time to start thinking about what is a shoe actually doing? Like, why are we making it? Who is it for? And what's kind of the life cycle? And what do we want as designers, being at the start of the process of everything? What do we want to achieve with footwear?
Right, okay. We're looking now at a brand that will be launched tomorrow, and this is going to be a custom sneaker made to order, but it's also going to have replaceable parts. So that kind of echoes what you're saying about the sustainability element. Certain things can be replaced within the sneaker. Do you mind drilling down on that a little bit?
So yeah, basically from there, we went on and kind of thought about, like, so we want to do a shoe that's obviously timeless and something that everybody can wear. So sneakers were the choice, of course. And we basically started talking to people about, like, what do you wear? What are your pains and gains, so to speak, of, like, what goes first? Why do you replace them? What are the main problems of it? So we did, like, research, talked to people, and we found, like, the sole unit, the heel piece, is always, like, something that goes early. And it also, if you look back into how Benchmade shoes are made with the top piece that is replaceable and you can replace the sole unit and everything, that's kind of where the idea came from of, like, why don't we integrate a replaceable heel piece in our sole unit? So that was the kind of the first thought we had, like, let's look at the sole, let's find a solution for the sole unit. But then it doesn't stop there. Footwear is obviously comfort and style at the same time. So we found, like, we wanted to use a great leather for the upper that is really, like, you can care for well, that will last very long. So when you have to replace the heel piece, the upper is still pristine if you look after it. And really, like, came to kind of coin the phrase wear, care, and repair as, like, what the whole shoe is like. So we started basically every piece in the shoe, the upper, the lining, the insock, the heel counter, the laces, everything that kind of wears off at some point, we wanted to be replaceable. And that's where the first idea came from. And that's what the shoe basically now delivers, which we are very proud of, that it's, like, the first repairable sneaker on the market that is really, like, you can wear, take care of it, and you can repair it yourself. So it's all in your hands, basically, once we deliver it to you.
That is absolutely nuts. That is so cool. Well, listen, I'm looking at the shoes now, and the trainers on the website, which is vin.one, by the way, and people can go over there and check these out. What is amazing to me, A, by the way, I told you off mic that the website's fantastic. It's such a relief to go on a website and find a clean website that you can just navigate around without having to kind of get lost and go, well, okay, well, what does this do over here? It's just it's a kind of a beautifully laid out, how you'd want, it goes where your eyes want to go, if that makes sense. Anyway, the trainers don't look like they've been compromised in the design element at all to facilitate the need for having every part replaceable. Was there any kind of hurdles or obstructions that you hit with the design element, thinking, well, we need to have this bit so we can switch it out, but then it will kind of look a little bit off? What was the process like when you're actually putting the design together?
Well, so Catherine and I were both designers, so aesthetics were always kind of, like, key from the beginning, besides the replaceable and repairable and longevity idea we had. One of the main things was, of course, like, getting the sole unit to actually be able to replace that heel. Like, nobody has done that before. This is also, like, work of, like, 3 years, basically, of us, like, doodling around, trying different things.
We did some
like 3D printing. We did some CAD work with a friend of ours to kind of get a mechanism that somewhat is able to click in, click out, and exchange that piece, because it was so key that the sole unit has this feature to get to the longevity we want the sneaker to have. So that was really, like, an engineering piece we then brought to Italy with our product developer, who connected us with one of the best sole makers in Italy and one of the, like, most beautiful factories that make the uppers. And then we brought everything together through that product development stage where we have the sneaker now. And in terms of aesthetics, we always wanted to design a shoe that really everyone can wear, because we believe, like, you want a shoe that you can if it lasts for like 3, 4, 5, 6 years, you don't want a shoe that's like a fad that has like yellow and purple on it, and then like after the season color is over, you kind of feel like, well, I can't wear it anymore, what's the point? So the idea is really like find like a great design, execute it, and then all the pieces kind of almost like fell in place at that point, really, when we looked at like how do we want to design and what is the key pieces we want to play with.
So how you've mentioned that 3 years is basically the amount of time that you've got from concept to market, pretty much. But what about cost? I mean, trips to Italy, it must be right. The bottles of wine in Italy, the good stuff, you know. I mean, you got to have some of that for your business lunches. How much are we racking up here?
Well, we financed it, obviously, because we are veterans in the industry. Like, we both have like 10, 15 years of like, we kind of like know what we're doing, and we knew when it was time to actually like get involved and put some money on the table to do prototypes, because a lot of like probably year 1 to 2, there was a lot of like actually thinking about like what is the product going to be and how are we making it different and what are the key elements we want, and just trialing things on our own with like little cutouts and like cutting sneakers up and trying to like, what can we do and how can we do this? And then after the 2 years, we basically got to a point where we had like a 3D print of a mechanism that worked for the heel piece, which was really like the crucial point where we were like, okay, now that we have something that actually works, let's now involve like the sole maker, the product developer in Italy, that we can really like see what the shoe is going to look like and how we're going to develop it further. But right. In terms of money, yeah, it's, I don't know. We calculated it up one day with a very like low hourly rate of things over the 3 years. Uh-huh. And we probably, in that terms, we invested each like, I don't know, 150K in terms of hours and days spent and trips spent and money spent for prototypes and things now. So it hasn't been, but the main thing is, for both of us, this is like the first time we have a product, both of us, within 15 years of doing collections and things, where we say like, I've never made a better sneaker than what this is.
Yeah.
And I've never done like a concept that is as sound as what we have right now. Of course, there's improvements to be made. It's not perfect. Nothing is ever perfect. But we're like at the stage where we can say like, this is really like the sneaker we wanted to build from the outset. And we made a first step to get very close to where we want to be.
Well, it's probably going to sound condescending, but I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
Putting your heart and your money and your balls on the line to get something like this off the ground. And it looks so cool as well. I mean, it has that, like you say, the timeless aspect of it. It's not kind of drenched in insignias or kind of splash colors, which, you know, that is for someone else. It's not for me. But I'm just really, really fascinated with this product. Once it's launched now, how do consumers get involved? Do they reach out to you? Do they email you and say, I need a pair of these immediately? What's the process from the end user?
So we start a pre-sale tomorrow, or today, depending like when this goes live. And basically we designed the one collection, we call it, which is an exclusive collection. We are planning to make only 500 pairs of it, and it will come with a 2012 Brunello Riserva that in the Vine Spectator scored a 96. So it's like a beautiful wine bottle with a beautiful pair of sneakers in white or black with some color detail. It will be live on the website. You can just go on, buy it straight up. We will deliver it in November, I think we will. The timeline we're still working on exactly when it comes, but it's everything will be made to order. Every size will be made to order, and everybody will have a specific customer number, which will also guarantee you like laces for life, and have some other perks that will come into play during your win journey with us. Nice. So it's going to be like an amazing first package, an amazing one collection, and it will be really cool.
So excited for you. Again, people, go on the website because you can sign up now to have, like, can you get the heads up of what this is going to look like if people sign up?
Well, the shoe, you can kind of see what it is. Mm. Again, we just do black and white to start with, which you can obviously choose from. And then the Brunello will be there, which is beautiful.
Nice.
And the other details are kind of like we're still like in the fine tuning the details.
Okay. Bit.
But it will be.
It's going to come with your face on it, isn't it? I've changed my mind. I'm going to put all the logos on the front.
No, luckily that will definitely not happen. We're both aesthetically, we're both somewhat on the minimalist side of things. So it will be like somewhat what you see on the website right now in terms of like what the shoe looks like. But it will just be like a great first splash. It will be like I said, it will be numbered. It will be up to 500, and they will be basically a starting point for us also to kind of like invest the money. People will give us almost like a Kickstarter idea to then deliver all of it and basically start the brand with it.
I don't want to say this, but imagine like you only get like a handful of people that do sign up. Do you still go through with the product and the production, or do you need like 500 sales up front like you would do in a Kickstarter, you know, to get over your achievement goal and your budget?
We have a few scenarios where we when we looked at like the numbers and what we need to invest obviously to get it all off the ground, so we're confident that like even under 500 pairs will be more than able to do it. Mm-hmm. So basically up from like 100 pairs plus, we're basically doing this. So it'll be delivered.
Great.
we'll make it happen.
I really hope so, man, because this is such a great project, such a great design. How much are people going to be looking at for a pair of these? What can people expect to pay?
So for the one collection, obviously with everything it comes with, it's going to be €500. A pair with the wine and everything, and then when it goes to like when we do our normal collections, which will probably start just after we finish the one collection pre-sale, the shoe will be around the €385.
Okay, so the first one's going to be a collector's piece, right? I mean,
the first one is going to be it's going to be once in a lifetime,
right?
And also the Brunello as well. It's kind of like there's not that many bottles left and things, so
yeah,
it'll be quite a good. It'll just be like a great package for anyone, and then with the longevity of the piece, of course, we'll always be there to like support. You'll get shoe trees with it. You will get a care pack with it. You will get the Brunello with it. You got the pair with it. You will get, we will on the website, we don't have that yet, but we will obviously make a care section that you can see how to care for your sneaks. We'll do, events and things like, so there's a lot in the pipeline that we haven't finalized yet, but, it's going to be one of those really fun, cool things. And for €500, it's in my head, it's really a steal, like, because the sneaker is, yeah.
Oh, wow.
By itself, it's already worth it, really.
Absolutely. And so you touched upon it there, but the aftercare, people will be able to buy individual little heels. They'll be able to buy it in little pieces and bits and bobs. Have you envisaged
that? Yeah, so basically how we will structure it is you... So these first two packages are kind of somewhat given because we can't do like 100 different things and stuff. Mm. But then on the Vin collection, we will then have like heal pieces and heal counters basically that come in the same colors. So you can even like exchange colors if you want to. So it gives it a bit of a personalization touch if you want to. And then we'll also sell shoe trees separately, and we'll sell a nice little care set separately for the sneakers to really care for it. So everything will come in like these small packages, and then you can basically build your own idea of like what you want the sneaker to look like to an extent with that.
Right. Interesting. And listen, Stefan, this comes as great news to me because I go through sneakers and trainers like there's no tomorrow, because effectively I'm pigeon-toed. So my right. feet kind of always go inwards, and the first things to go are the inners of the soles, or the inner midsole, I should say, towards the toe. Especially if I've got a white crepe, it really does kind of show up, and it's super annoying. Things like this that come along really do appeal to the people like me, and I guess everyone else that kind of goes through their shoes knows how much it costs to go to a cobbler and get replacement heels for shoes. But there's not so much of it with sneakers, I don't find. You know, you never hear about going to a cobbler, or at least I don't. Is that a thing? Can you like replace heels with sneakers at cobblers?
There's a few people that do it. You need like a special stitch through machine that basically the cupsole that attaches the cupsole and stitches through the upper again, so the cupsole stays on the sneaker. But it's fairly rare, unfortunately. But yeah. It's kind of like a 2.0 version. What we want to do is kind of also because the sole unit at some point, obviously the heel will be replaceable and that's fine, but the forefoot and everything obviously takes some wear as well. So we will have to see when that happens as well, and then maybe in a 2.0 version we might be able to do like a replace the whole sole unit and get a completely new sole for it. But that's kind of future music right now. Right now we're concentrating on like selling the first 500 pairs basically.
Which may they'll fly out.
Yeah, I do really hope so, that it's gonna be like especially right now. I know like obviously there's people have financial constraints and things, but if you think about how much money you spend every, let's say 12-18 months to buy a new sneaker, like 100-150 bucks. And then if you have a sneaker that lasts you for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, that's like 350-395, whatever.
Yeah, you got to play the long game with this, and you've got to think this is an investment. I mean, imagine having these sneakers. Stefan, listen, thanks so much for coming on. I really wish you all the best, mate, with this. I think you've got a great product on your hands. I think it just ticks all the right boxes for everyone. VYN.1 is the website. People can go and check out, like I say, when we release this, hopefully it'll either be on the day or the day before the launch, and everyone can just dip their toe in it and see what's going on with the campaign. So once again, Stefan, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Take it easy. Thank you, mate.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Stefan Mathis there. Thank you so much, Stefan. Please, everybody, head over to the website. Take a look at how cool these trainers are. Seriously, VYN.1. That's VYN.1. Thank you for listening. There's a bunch of podcasts out there. You can be distracted elsewhere, but you choose to be distracted here. We thank you for that. We thank you for all the reviews. We get to read them all. Again, if you want to get in touch with the show, info@menswearstyle.co.uk is the place to go. In the meantime, remember, it's only fashion, people, and you're never fully dressed without a smile.